League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, post-sprint podcast, PSP. I don't know what you said, podcast. I was like, post-sprint edition. That's what I usually say, edition. Welcome, everybody. We are here to reflect on what happened at Austria. It's Saturday. It feels like Sunday. We've had a race, sprint race weekend. I hope you remembered that it's a sprint race weekend and you didn't lose or forget or not see qualifying yesterday, but we're here. And of course, you may well notice that there isn't a Tommy Bellingham, the WTF1 founder. He has disappeared, but we have got a better replacement, if I'm being completely honest with you. The WTF1 author, Katie Fairman.
I'm going to well up. Thanks so much. That was such a lovely introduction.
No problem. No problem. Made it up on the spot.
Both got the sack, though, for slagging off Tommy.
So. Yeah. Tommy can try and sack me. Bring it on. We've also got Twitch watching us live as well. So welcome to our Twitch viewers. Thank you for coming along. If you haven't seen our Twitch yet, it's WTF1 official. But here we are. Let's talk about what happened. And before the race even begun, Katie, we need to talk about a certain Fernando Alonso. And also Zhou Guanyu had some engine problems, but mainly Fernando Alonso because he actually couldn't start the race. And it was a weird look, wasn't it? Where we saw Fernando Alonso and the camera was looking at him. We were like, oh, there's Fernando in P8. Oh no, he's got his tire blankets on. So they ran out of time, tried to fix it and couldn't.
Yeah, a really unusual start. Just typical luck for Fernando Alonso. Like he battled with a damaged floor in qualifying yesterday. Still managed P8. The Alpines look quick all weekend. So we thought, yep, the sprint guy is going to be on it. No. So he's spoken to media after the race and said that 5 minutes before the start, they had a blackout in the car and they could not switch on the car. They tried to fire up with an external battery, but it wouldn't work either. So there's something bigger going on there and let's try and fix it for tomorrow. But yeah, he got wheeled into the pit lane because we had to have an additional formation lap. They aborted the start, and then, as you mentioned, like we kind of just came to the end of the another formation lap, and then Guan Yu Zhou had an issue, so it just seemed like the sprint just didn't want to get started. But a real pain for Fernando because, as we said, that Alpine was looking pretty quick, even in FP2. I know you can't really count FP2 as anything because we'd already had quali and it was kind of just a random session in the day, but they were both of the Alpines were in the top five there. So real unlucky.
Really unlucky. And it just continues for Fernando Alonso to have problems. He's had many issues with that Alpine this year. And it poses the question, how much more is he going to deal with this? This is Fernando Alonso. He is not afraid to burn a bridge or two. So I do wonder if this continues on, you know, he's got a decent car under him, but if he's not being given a car that can start races or, you know, whatever, problems in Australia qualifying as one example, he's going to get frustrated. And I'm sure, you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall or even a fly in the cockpit when his car wouldn't turn on. But this is Fernando Alonso. He doesn't deal with this sort of stuff very well. And it does pose a question. You know, will he start sniffing around other teams for a couple of years? That could easily happen if a team would take him, but I'm not sure what team would take him.
McLaren.
McLaren, I don't think, would take him.
That would be so funny.
Personally, imagine that.
Every bridge at McLaren possible. I mean, imagine just goes back, hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Sorry I said all those things about you. But no, it is really frustrating for Alonso. Of course, he had problems in qualifying as well. He had a damaged car, I think, due to his floor being slightly damaged, I think it was, which affected his pace. And it's just, he just cannot get any good luck this year, Fernando. It's such a shame. So yeah, he couldn't start the race, which was, you were hoping for a lovely little top five, weren't you, Katie, for Alonso. But that did not come to fruition. Then obviously the race started and there was a very similar sort of crash, but obviously a lot less. Was it less speed? Probably a little bit less speed. That's what we saw in British Grand Prix. between Hamilton and Gasly, the Mercedes tagging the left rear of Gasly, the car going up, but thankfully, you know, not upside down or anywhere near that. And another sort of pincer moment, which just seems to be happening quite a bit in Formula One. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's the fact that these cars are wider. I think Danny Ric actually said that the visibility is a lot worse in these cars because of there's bits on, there's wheel covers and all that good stuff on the cars, that the visibility is just getting worse and worse. So perhaps there is something to be said about that. Of course, we haven't seen it so much before the British Grand Prix, but it's happened twice now in succession. And yeah, a shame for Gasly. Hamilton obviously carried on unscathed. But yeah, you just don't like to see crashes like that.
You don't. Like you say, so many similarities to last weekend's crash involving a Mercedes, involving an AlphaTauri. But like you say, much, much nicer result from it all, unless I guess you're Pierre Gasly, who got spun and just had another shocker of a sprint and a race. Really just not having much luck at all this year. So when you think about this time last year, he was like banging in top five quali results when his car should probably not have been there. And this year he just seems to be on a very slippery slope, but he's signed on for another year with AlphaTauri. So at least he hasn't got to worry about like performance and getting a contract for next year and such. But yeah, really unusual crash. And as you say, I don't know why we've seen two so similar within such a short space of one another. But yeah, perhaps maybe it's the visibility, the characteristics of like the first corner, both go into a right like hand turn, but then we've literally raced at so many circuits like this year. So I'm really just like grasping at straws here as to why we've seen two that are really similar. Maybe it's just unfortunate.
Maybe it's just coincidence. Yeah,
maybe it is.
It could easily be that way. But it is interesting that Danny Ric said about the visibility in the car this weekend. So yeah, next up was a big moment in the race. Oh. Was obviously Carlos Sainz getting a great start, getting past Charles Leclerc, who was pinched to the inside by Verstappen. That allowed Carlos to sweep all the way around the outside, get up to P2. Then he had a great run on Verstappen as well and tried to attack him around the outside at turn three. Went a bit wide, messed it up ever so slightly, which then allowed Leclerc back to be fighting him. Then Charles sent it up the inside and got the position. But then Carlos was properly on the aggressive in the first few laps and sort of approached the race slightly differently, it looked like, because Carlos mentioned, of course, after fighting Leclerc and being close to the Ferrari, that he may have overheated those mediums. And we saw him drop off from his teammate in the middle part of the race, whereas Charles was saying he was managing the tyres a bit more and trying not to take too much life out of them at the start. So that allowed Carlos to really get on the back of Charles. And we saw some very tight racing, didn't we? I was wincing watching those two go wheel to wheel. And Binotto, I think, said on the run-up to this weekend, they are free to fight, which if you're a neutral, that's brilliant to watch.
I was there rubbing my hands together.
Yeah, if you're
Matt
a me.
Was pulling out his hair.
If you're a me, and obviously a big, not a fanboy, just passionate for Charles Leclerc, you're wondering why are they allowing this when Verstappen's just trotting off out in front and there's no problems. It makes no sense from a Ferrari standpoint to allow that to happen. They did allow it to happen. It was fair, hard racing. It definitely put them in a little bit of danger, let's say that, but they got out unscathed and I guess it was good entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Ferrari, maybe they're just like, everyone always jokes that we don't have strategy anyway, so let's just like let our drivers fight and not care about the potential outcome there. Great for us to watch, unless you are part of the Tifosi or you're Sainz or a Leclerc fan or whatever. But yeah, really testing the two of them not to throw toys out the pram or, you know, have a collision, because we know that Leclerc and Carlos, they get on well together. I'm not trying to paint some sort of drive to survive. These two hate each other's guts. They want them out the picture, all this kind of stuff. They're teammates in Formula One. Naturally, they're going to want to beat the other one. Like, that's just F1 101. But after Leclerc had a British Grand Prix victory essentially snatched from underneath him, and Carlos, you know, some would argue maybe he didn't deserve to win the British Grand Prix, but he did do it. He didn't bottle it. He took the car to the checker flag and he won it. And I think there've been several instances where Carlos deserved a victory and he hasn't got it. So I think I'm happy for him. But there's got to be a lot of built up tension. And especially for Charles, you know, he's had so many things not go his way, whether that's reliability issues, whether that's just poor calls from the team strategy, guys and girls. So I think it's very brave of Ferrari just to let both of their drivers do what they need to do, potentially risk wiping both of them out in a sprint to get what, like 7 and 6 points each. I think it's a fairly crazy thing to do. But at the same time, as an F1 fan, I am loving it. Offering great entertainment. And maybe that's just the angle I'm going for now. They're like, we want people to see our sponsors. So we'll just like not put any rules in place. Hope these two talented, respectful drivers are that and they don't send one of the others into the gravel. And hope for the best. And that's kind of what we saw. And then science inevitably kind of just like backed off a little bit. And it was just like a fairly solid 2-3 position. And yeah, I'm sorry, that was such a long answer. I really got into it.
That's okay. Look, we'd love a bit of Katie passion. And yeah, it was just so hard to watch, but it was fine. It was good entertainment. And they didn't come together. I think if they came together, those two could easily have fireworks. We haven't seen that yet. And I hope we don't see it this season because that could be very, very bad. But yeah, good stuff from them.
That'll be funny.
Oh my God, of all places. let's talk about Verstappen's teammate now, Sergio Perez, who had to fight back from 13th after making that qualifying mistake, which the FIA penalised him for, even though they messed up him just being cut out of Q2 anyway. It was very odd, and that obviously affected Gasly through their human error, which was obviously a bit of a shame for him. But yeah, Perez came back through very nicely indeed, had a very good start, got up to P8 very early, and then was fighting the two Haases and managed to do a beautiful little move on Mick, who was kind of trying to get through on K-Mag at the time, and just dived up the inside of turn number three, so which was, yeah, lovely stuff from Perez. And after that, it was very easy pickings for him to get through on K-Mag and then eventually Ocon as well. So yeah, Perez very much in the sort of fight now tomorrow. He'll have to dispatch of Russell if he wants to have any sort of chance of getting on the podium. But P5, much better from where he was. And it just, again, allows this sprint race, allows people to make up for their poor qualifying. And Perez has been someone to make the most of that format.
Very much so. Yeah, I mean, Perez with the sprint, he's been so hit or miss with it. Like Silverstone, when we had the first sprint, it's a long way ago. It was nearly a year ago when he made a mistake and sent him. I forget where he was, like P4, P5 or something. And he ends up dropping right to the back of the grid. And then come Sunday, had to have another recovery drive and stuff like that. But yeah, Checo, we've seen it countless times over the year, like Zandvoort being another great example of him fighting his way from near the back, even British Grand Prix, like literally last weekend, from the back of the grid up into P2. So we know that the guy is great at attacking and defending when needs be. So yeah, I think he'll be very happy with that. But once again, he'll probably just be frustrated at the whole situation that put him P13 in the first place, which was that the FIA, for some reason, couldn't use their eyeballs and see that he had gone over the track limits, and then put him through to Q3, let him waste his tyres, and then 2 hours after say, actually, we're going to delete your lap time from lap 17 and then also all of your laps in Q3. So yeah, I think he probably just had a little bit of fire in his belly, and once Checo is on a charge, there ain't no stopping him unless you're Max Verstappen.
I think your fangirl just came out there a little bit. That was
a tad.
Yeah. No, but he is very good at coming back through the field. Obviously, he won his race in Bahrain by coming back through the field after being punted. That was just an unbelievable drive. So yeah, Perez once again back through the field and in the mix tomorrow. Speaking of him, obviously he fought the Haases, as did Lewis Hamilton as well. Slightly different. In terms of how long it went on for, Mick doing a wonderful defensive drive and eventually, unfortunately, getting passed by Hamilton with only a few laps to go. Now I want to talk about what they could have done differently here, because Mick obviously got caught out by a very nice move from Perez. The two Haases were then looking like they were working very well together in P7 and P8, holding back Hamilton in P9, who just couldn't get the run that he needed with obviously the Ferrari engine in the back of that Haas. They were pretty quick, and obviously with the use of DRS as well for Mick, he was able to hold off Hamilton. But for them, whatever reason, K-Mag, of course, Mick is trying to defend from Hamilton, and with that, Mick then loses DRS from K-Mag. And you'd think one, common sense would probably kick in if you're K-Mag, and two, the Haas team would be on the blower going, Kevin, slow down. Like, you're out of DRS now of Mick. Mick doesn't have DRS to defend from Hamilton. And he never did. He never slowed down. So I think it's partly on K-Mag for not really understanding what was going on, although I'm sure he has mirrors and knows what was going on behind him. And also, I understand he's trying to defend P7, but you could quite clearly see this DRS train was working very well.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm a little bit disappointed from Haas not doing that, because I genuinely believe, and there's a question from Ben's Master Tech, would Mick be able to hold off Lewis if he stayed within DRS from K-Mag? I think so, 100%. I think Mick had him covered. But unfortunately, without that DRS and that extra bit of straight line speed, Hamilton was able to get on the back of him and then eventually dive up the inside into turn number four. So I think a little bit of a missed opportunity for Haas, but still a couple of points and I'm sure they'll be happy with it.
Yeah, very much so. Sorry, my eyes have just risen because I've just seen some breaking news.
What's that?
That Sebastian Vettel has been summoned to the stewards because he, for his behaviour at a driver's meeting.
Is that it?
What? That's it. But like, what? He's been summoned to the stewards for his behaviour in a driver's meeting. Wow,
pop wow, upset, what's he said?
I really want to know. I feel bad because I've just dropped that like freaking thing, and then we're talking about Haas. But yeah, let me see if I can pull up the stewards' notes. So
we need to share that just, tea if we.
Just says Sebastian Vettel alleged breach of the article 12.2.1F. Which is behavior at the driver's meeting at 7:30. So wow. That would have been yesterday.
Maybe he's opened his B hotel because he's really not happy, and they've all just swarmed around some of the stewards. Perhaps, I don't know, but did Albon get penalized for hitting Vettel?
He did.
Off?
His 5 second came off at the end.
He had a 5 second before that. I think did he not? I felt like there was.
But with Land though, yeah.
Lando.
I was like, Lando.
Lando,
not so Nando.
So he didn't get a penalty for the Vettel contact then. Maybe that's where.
From yesterday.
Yesterday's. Yeah,
the driver's meeting is from yesterday. It's from 19:30 and it's only 5:45 in Austria at the moment. So it must have been from yesterday.
Wow.
They have their Friday driver's briefing.
Well, keep an eye on WTF1 socials and the website for more breaking news on that one.
Very much so. But yeah, Mick has been speaking to the media as well, and he's also not very happy from the sounds of it, saying that, yeah, he would have been fine if Kevin had just stuck within DRS. But I mean, if you're Kevin, or we talked about this on the watch along, if you're Kevin, you're out for yourself. And if he can hold on to the position and not get overtaken, then that's fine. But yeah, you've also got to remember you're part of a team. And it's a bit of a team game, I guess, in some aspects of it. And yeah, I'm amazed that nobody from Haas was on the blower being like, Kevin, what are you doing? Back up, let Mick stay in DRS.
Yeah, Mick even asked for it, didn't he? Mick even asked for it on TV.
Just like, adios, amigo. See you later.
What did he?
I don't know what...
Why did he
was that him pressing the accelerator? I've only been drinking water, but this clearly has got me all worked up.
Oh, love it, love it. Other talking points from the sprint. Ricardo was on the team radio asking to be let through on Lando Norris, which was interesting. Obviously, a strong performance from Danny Ric. I wonder if there's some problems still with Lando's car. I'm not sure, but Danny Ric definitely. Because obviously, Lando had problems with his brakes yesterday. Don't know if that would be would have been an overnight fix, but Danny Ric was behind his teammate, and a strong performance. than what he showed. Well, I say that they were 15th and 16th on the grid, but as we said, like Lando was struggling and 0.3 clear in Q1. But yeah, better from Danny Ric.
It was, but at the same time, like, I adore Daniel Ricciardo with my whole heart, my whole being. I think he's so lovely. And I know that he is a fantastic racing driver. But at the same time, how many races can you come to in 2022 and be like, so yeah, there was a problem with the car, and then never kind of really allude to what that problem was? He did it after Monaco. He's doing it now after Silverstone. I know that he had some DRS issues and stuff, but it seems like every weekend there just seems to be another nuisance with the McLaren, and it does cause me deep stress because I am concerned. Like, I've always laughed it off and been like, McLaren are not the kind of team that are just going to like ditch a driver, like, especially if it's Daniel Ricciardo. He's got such a reputation in this sport. As time goes on, Matt, I am becoming less and less confident that that is actually like true. And I really think that he's at a serious risk of being gotten rid of. And it makes me so sad because I don't want him to go. But at the same time, he's not putting in the performances. Like, it's all very well saying, I'm quicker than Lando, let me pass. Babe, that's Formula One. You've got to pass yourself. You can't just expect people to get out the way. It's not a good time to be a Ricciardo fan, I'll tell you now.
No, it's really not. But like, it was a stronger performance, and we'll see what he can do tomorrow. But yeah, it is sad to see the slight demise of Danny Ric and what we thought he was able to do in a Formula One car. Next up, Alex Albon. We kind of just mentioned it because there was some news about Vettel sharing some terrible things he said or something yesterday, or the FIA want to investigate him.
You can't slate the FIA. I
know
that he's
saying anything bad.
You're not. So unless he's really had a go at the FIA about something yesterday, but at the same time, he's not said it publicly. He's said it in theory in a safe space in
clearly
the driver's
not.
Seat. But no, there's a snake within the drivers. They've been like recording it and they've sent it to.
Oh my God! Imagine that would
spill the tea.
That would be like Keeping Up with the Kardashians kind of gossip and craziness, wouldn't it? So yeah, Albon crashed into Vettel. He also got a 5-second penalty for running Norris off the track. So Albon, unfortunately, yes, he had a great start. He was up to P10 on the softs and he was looking pretty strong. But then, yeah, just got involved in some incidents around Austria, which is not the first time he's been involved with that. And yeah, didn't end up finishing anywhere near the top 10. I think he's like 15th or 16th. So unfortunate for Albon. But yeah, he was looking feisty at the start. We got some questions from some of the Twitch chat. They're watching along live. Sam_K_99 says, I'm a Verstappen mega fan, but I really think the flares are becoming a safety hazard and the FIA needs to do something about it. I think the flares are getting a little bit out of hand too. We saw it in Zandvoort and we saw it again at the end of that race. Visibility is everything. And just because it's the end of the race when they all pop most of their flares, although to be fair, some of them popped it through qualifying and when the cars are still on track, is something that can definitely be a danger. If someone's gone off and visibility is not as great, you know, drivers have to be completely and utterly aware of their surroundings. As much as I love flares, I love the atmosphere, I love when people cheer and things like that, I'm not sure if flares are really the way to go. And I don't, obviously they do try and police it. I don't think flares are allowed at Formula One events, but
it's like that
they appear to
video
just get
of the bouncer.
Anyway. Yeah, that's exactly the guy that. Yeah.
For audio listeners, is not going to understand that at all. But yeah, like just not properly checking through stuff. But
yes.
I mean, even at Silverstone last week, like didn't have proper bag checks or anything. So I'm not surprised things get snuck into these races. But yeah, I think it's pretty dangerous. There was, and I still can't get to the bottom of it. So if anybody watching on the Twitch chat knows, pop it in the chat. But there were double yellows in sector 4 after the sprint. And I'm wondering if that's something related to do with the flares. But it might not be anything. It might have been somebody saw a bit of debris on the track and Marshall's gone to the track and retrieved it. But yeah, I find them like they're good for the atmosphere and stuff. But at the
Ocon
same time,
stopped, apparently.
Oh, okay. Thank you. If you literally like have your visibility affected from it, and it's the same with when F1 do all these firework displays. Tommy did an opinion piece on it on the website last year where I forget where it was, like Mexico maybe, or Brazil, when F1 send like a whole line of fireworks off, and it's just a bit much. Last year in Austria, actually, when Kimi and Seb came together, loads of people were setting off flares. It was a great party atmosphere. And then you'd be like forgiven for confusing the actual smoke, or like them where the gravel had been disturbed and it kicked up a plume of smoke. I don't know what it's called.
Dust.
Dust. Dust, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, my God. I'm washed. I can't be a writer anymore. I can't even remember what the word for dust is. And, yeah, you'd be forgiven for thinking, oh, maybe it's just another flare. But actually, there had been an accident that had kicked up a lot of dust. So, yeah, I don't know. Will F1 ever do anything about it? Probably not. It looks good for the TV cameras.
No, I mean, it does look good on the TV cameras, and it looks good at like football matches and stuff. But football matches, they're not running at 200 miles an hour, and you know, there's high levels of danger involved in Formula One. So yeah, I think it could easily get very bad very quickly. And if a lot of them get set off in the middle of the race or at the start of the race, we could have a red flag. So yeah, I don't want to be a party pooper or anything, but I think flares is where it kind of, you know, where the line is, to be honest. I don't mind, you know, if they want to have those blooming foghorn things and vuvuzelas, I think they were called from the World Cup a few years ago. Stuff like that, you know, getting the atmosphere that way, and sound is absolutely fine. But yeah, visibility stuff, I think, is a little bit too far. Another question from QT Declan. Is the sprint race setting the starting grid for Sunday's race too extreme, considering you could get DNF'd by other drivers? Now, we were talking about this in the live Twitch watch along, and for all those that hate gimmicks, you probably want to turn off now. But I don't see this as a gimmick, really. But I would love to see the sprint race weekend be Friday, just as we had it, qualifying. But that qualifying will be for Sunday's race. Saturday will be a reverse top 8, top 10 of the starting grid that we got on Friday. And I think that would work a treat. It's pretty much what Formula 2 do, if not to the T, what Formula 2 do. And I think that's a tried and tested way of providing some entertainment in a way in which people will tune in. If you reverse the top 8 and they're looking for viewing figures, 100% people are tuning in. If you've got a blooming K-Mag on pole, you're absolutely watching that race. So I would at least want to try it. That's what Formula One are all about. The problem is, and I think this is where I'm sure it has been theorized and they've spoken about it, the teams have to agree to it. And I highly doubt the Mercedes, the Red Bulls, the Ferraris of this world would agree to starting 8th, 10th if they've got pole on Friday. So I probably think that's where the stumbling block is. But I think that needs to be pushed through anyway, personally.
Just for us, please. Yeah. I know the FIA and the F1, big fans of us. All the positive things we're always saying. But I think that would be the thing that the sprint is missing. And I said it on the watch along, like if they actually did that, then I'd be so game for having the sprint at like half the races if they actually did like a reverse grid element to it. And yeah, that's definitely going to get like bums on seats. And I mean, fortunately, F1 is in a lucky position at the moment where like everything is sold out just because the F1 mania is just so intense, and through Drive to Survive or people not being able to go to Grand Prix for so long because of the pandemic, everyone is just desperate to see an F1 car. Even if you just go for the Friday, like the experience is enough to, you know, you're happy. It's not like a few years ago where grandstands are literally empty. Nobody wants to come and watch practice. Unfortunately, people didn't care too much about like the F2 or the F3, but it's all flipped around now and everyone is just hysterical about F1, and that's awesome. Mm. But will they do it? I don't think so. I think the sprint is already, they're kind of tiptoeing already on like disrupting what is seen as tradition. And, you know, well, it's been this way for so many years and that kind of thing. I think adding the reverse grid element would just tip it over the edge. And I don't think F1 are willing to take that risk and that gamble yet. But it's a shame because in theory, I think it would be absolutely wicked. But I do think as well, the fact that the last 3 sprints have been really good, but that's because in every single one, we've had like a driver that's coming from the back, whether that's Hamilton mm-hmm. in Brazil. I'm trying to think who was at the starting near the back in Imola, but I'm sure there was somebody that probably had a drama and tried to fight their way through. And it was raining and yeah, it was raining for the qualifying, so then the sprint was all in a weird order, I think, is how it sort of made its way to be decent, and then this race the same. But
yeah, because most of the action we saw today was Hamilton out of position and Perez out of position, and Albon kind of out of position, I guess, because he was further ahead than where he should have been. But like, that mainly Hamilton and Perez were the ones we saw. Of course, Carlos and Charles were fighting as well. But the main things were the two drivers. Hamilton crashed, Perez got a penalty, and we got great entertainment. Now, there has been some comments in the chat about 8 points being too much for a reverse grid scenario. I agree. Maybe the points then need taken down again a little bit. Maybe it's 5 for the victory. I don't know. But I think it's worth trying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it'd be better. But if we want entertainment and we want, you know, Hamilton and Perez coming through the field, that's exactly the kind of stuff we're going to see. Yeah, of course, there's Formula One teams say they don't want to risk damage, but they risk damage every single race weekend, racing just in general. So, I don't know. I think it's worth trying. That's all I'm saying, because they tried with the sprint. They've tried 100 different qualifying formats over the years. Why not test a reverse grid top 8 or something like that? That is probably the final thought from me. What's your final thoughts, Katie? No.
As soon as you said final thought, I was like, I'm in the clear. My final thought is I am really interested to hear what Sebastian Vettel has done, because my man, he has been popping off. He's obviously said something about the FIA or maybe the officials or marshals or something. He said something about someone that's clearly not gone down too well. So we know Seb can be quite fiery. He doesn't, like, he's very thoughtful in many ways with what he says and how he presents himself. But when he's got something that he's not happy about, getting Canada flashbacks here, you know, he's not afraid to ruffle a few feathers and challenge people. So I am going to enjoy trying to find out what he's been up to.
Do find that, Katie. Do find that. Yeah. Interesting quick comment about the sprint from Thomas Hound 7. Yes, but the sprint was brought in to mix up the grid. I would argue that the sprint
is puts the grid out
more to what we expect, because we don't have a Perez in 13th and a Hamilton starting 10th or 9th, sorry, tomorrow. We have Hamilton starting in, 6th and Perez 5th or wherever Hamilton ended up. Sorry, 7th, I think it was, behind Ocon. I would argue that the sprint doesn't mix up the grid at all, and it does the complete opposite. But hey ho, it's a big discussion point, and not one that I'm saying is there's a correct answer to. But interesting stuff. Thank you, Katie, for your time. Thank you to everybody watching live on Twitch. Hashtag WTF1 podcast. If you want to get involved in the discussion, come and join us on Twitch. We are streaming most sessions, definitely qualifying and the race for every race weekend. So come and check us out, WTF1 official. And until then, enjoy the race tomorrow. We'll be live on Twitch. Come and join us in the chat. And we'll see you very soon for another podcast/video/content/fun/yay. Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.